I love that the bells are going off right as I step up to the pulpit. It's a warm welcome. I bring greetings to you from Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. And of course, as you know, we have a great relationship with Covenant Presbyterian Church here in Sherman. Lisa used to work at the admissions department in Austin, and we have two people that were interns here that are now students at Austin, Emily Everts and Kaylee Gray. So our relationship and our rivers run deep. The president, Ted Wardlaw, told me to bring an enormous truckload of gratitude with you, but I only drove here in a Toyota Corolla, so I brought as much as I could give. So thank you so much. And with that being said, let's go ahead and turn to the Word, which today you can find in the Gospel of Luke, starting at the beginning of chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. When I first looked at this week's readings, I instantly thought of the parable of the prodigal son. Yes, that is neither one of these parables. But don't we all? When we think about the parables of Jesus and lost things, the imagery of a son leaving his family to become lost seems to come first in our collective imagination. Additionally, it always seems like these three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, get grouped together, with the prodigal son getting all the attention, which means that these two parables we have for today's reading kind of get glossed over. Is it because we more easily identify with another person who is out there in the world and being and doing, even if that person and being and doing in ways in which we wouldn't? Is it because we find it nearly impossible to identify with an inanimate lost object such as a coin that has no capacity to seek but can only be found? Is it because we don't want to identify with a sheep who is lost and wandering and has to rely on some other being to bring them back home? And then we look at the audience to which Jesus is talking to in this particular passage, the Telonai and the Amartoloi in the biblical Greek. There's your seminary donations at work. Translated to the tax collectors and the sinners in English. Which brings up even more identification questions. Are we meant to identify with the tax collectors and the sinners approaching Jesus to listen to his words and not the grumbling Pharisees and the scribes? What do we do if we see more of ourselves in the grumblers instead of the attentive listeners? Personally, it depends on the day for me. Are we meant to be the lost sheep or the lost coin, unable to know what it is that seeks us? What if we don't feel simply lost or simply found sometimes, but a combination of both? What if we feel like that, you know? Here I'm thinking of times in which generally things may be going all right in our lives. We feel a sense of love, whether it be the embrace of a family member or a friend, a kudos we receive in the workplace, or even the occasional hello from a stranger you pass on the street. But just because we feel loved doesn't mean we don't also possibly feel lost. That embrace may come amidst a time of struggle. That kudos may come at a time where we might be asking ourselves, what is my future? in this place. Heck, the hello from a stranger might be coming at a time where you are actually, physically lost and have no idea where you are. I realize these are a lot of questions, but if there's anything I've learned as a seminarian, it's that the closer you read and the deeper you look into the scripture, the more questions and the less answers you come out with. Believe me, this is only a sampling of the questions that arose for me when I was reading through this passage. And maybe we feel found by God, but also feel lost in the this here's and the that there's of life from time to time. Which makes me wonder if the parables Jesus tells in this passage aren't this kind of one-dimensional. I don't know if it's as simple as identifying as either a sinner or a scribe, a tax collector or a Pharisee, the lost or the found. As beings of creation fearfully and wonderfully made, I'd like to think that we are a little bit more complex than our constructions of either ors. But thinking about ourselves as members of God's creation makes me also think about something else that the lost sheep and the lost coin are pointing to. We think of ourselves as fearfully and wonderfully made, members of God's creation. I think that this would take us all the way back to the very beginning of Genesis, where we see in the creation narratives that we as human beings are made in the image of God. Yes, friends, we are God's image bearers. The imprint of God in all of us is deeply ingrained, enduring, and imperishable. So when Jesus is around the Telonai and the Amartoloi, and is identified as eating with them by the scribes and the Pharisees, he is affirming human beings who carry that imprint of God. When I think of the Telonai and the Amartoloi who carry the imprint of God, the very first image that comes to my mind is an image from my favorite animated movie from my childhood, that of Esmeralda in the, well, I'm not going to say old Disney rendition of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. When she finds sanctuary in the Notre Dame de Paris, after being pursued relentlessly by Judge Claude Frollo, Esmeralda walks amongst the beauty of Notre Dame's sanctuary, singing her prayer for God to help the outcasts. In her song, Esmeralda, as a Roma woman, identifies herself as an outcast before looking at an icon of Mary and Jesus, wondering if God was also once an outcast in the incarnation of Jesus too. At the end of her song, she stands in front of the massive, gorgeous rose window of the Notre Dame de Paris. As light shines on her from the stained glass, the imagery of God affirming her as an image bearer amongst her petition for the outcasts as an outcast herself. But there's also something deeper that can be seen in Jesus' storytelling in this passage. Indeed, when he tells the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin to the Pharisees and scribes, he is also affirming them as the ones who carry this same imprint of God. I mean, if Jesus didn't believe this, then I don't know if he would even consider responding to the grumblings of the Pharisees and the scribes. Even further woven into the very fabric of these two parables is this affirmation of us as image bearers. The recovery of the sheep by the shepherd and the coin by the woman is the recovery of ourselves as God's image bearers. Just as Esmeralda's song is a recovery of herself and her people as bearing the imprint of God. So among all these questions of identification that I have brought up, something I like to call my little identity crisis, that seem to have no simple answer, there is one answer that can address the deep complexities of us as human beings, not easily explained by a this or that categorization. Whether we are the sinners or the scribes, the tax collectors or the Pharisees, the lost or found, or some weird combination of both, we bear the unfading imprint, the ineradicable image of God. This is a powerful personal affirmation of ourselves that can bring a sense of joy, a sense of agency, and a sense of meaning to us in all the moments of our lives, the highs and the lows. But these parables are not just about our own personal recoveries of ourselves as God's image bearers. No, Jesus is telling these parables to himself, not telling these parables to himself or to one single person. He is not talking to me. He is telling these parables to a mixed crowd of people. He is talking to you and to me, to us. On the surface level, this heightens the powerful affirmation of ourselves as bearing the imprint of God by affirming that we are not alone in this bearing. I'm actually going to repeat that and let it just be present for a moment. We are not alone. The bearing of the image of God is for you and for me. The love of God is for you and for me. Our calling as the community of God is for you and for me. It is for us. Yet, on a deeper level, this affirmation of us as carrying the imprint of God points us toward a theme that repeats over and over again in the ministry of Jesus. Because we are not alone as God's image bearers, that also means that we must also recognize the image of God in our neighbors. Just as Jesus recognizes the image of God in the members of the audience he is speaking to. Again, here I think of Esmeralda and the Notre Dame de Paris. In her plea for God to help the outcasts, she doesn't only plea for help for herself as an outcast, she recognizes the image of God in all of her people. Even still after her song, she also begins to recognize the image of God in Phoebus, the captain of the guard following the orders of Judge Frollo to persecute Esmeralda's people. Her recognition of Phoebus as an image bearer causes him to have a change of heart, and he begins to advocate for the outcasts instead of following his orders from the powerful to persecute them. Which brings us to our final question and the title of the sermon: Who is my neighbor? Ultimately, this is a question of solidarity. Friends, it is one more question that is answered simply by Jesus' actions in this passage, bypassing all of the possible categorizations we have made in our human minds to attempt to answer this question. Our neighbor is every other human being, as we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, bearing the imprint, the image of God. Our neighbors are our closest friends and the people we like the least and everyone else in between. Our neighbors are our parents and our children and everyone else in between. Our neighbors are those who are migrating into the land we live in and those whose ancestors have lived in this land their entire lives and everyone else in between. Our neighbors are those who look most like us and those who don't look like us at all. And everyone else in between. Our neighbors are Esmeralda and Phoebus and everyone else in between. Friends, this is the recovery of the sheep and the recovery of the coin in these parables. The affirmation of ourselves and our neighbors as God's image bearers. When this recovery happens, our neighbors rejoice. And why wouldn't they? To be affirmed a bearer of God's image is a wonderful, beautiful, majestic thing. But because we are loved so deeply by God that we carry God's own image, we are also made as people capable of loving one another deeply. Thus, this affirmation comes with an obligation, which I end these words with. Because we are not alone as bearers of the image of God, we are called to show all of God's image bearers that they are not alone because we are with them. Amen.